Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast, where we continue to equip leaders with biblical skills for a lifetime of ministry.
Hey guys, Chad Hampsh here at the Kanakuk Institute in the studio with some dear, dear friends, Andrew and Emily Cordasco, Institute grads, Institute staff, and now full circle in the mission field. They got the opportunity just to share with our students and really, really bless them. You guys, thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. Just a couple quick questions. You guys are in the mission field, obviously. Would you guys just share just a little bit about your journey, you know, from being equipped to then the call and what God's done in y'all's life and family and ministry since then?
Absolutely. It's kind of a whirlwind to think back on now. And Emily and I were laughing when I said that it had been 9 years since the Institute. You don't think it. It doesn't feel fair sometimes when you start thinking about time, but it really has. So we've been in Bangkok 2 years now. We're in Bangkok, Thailand. I graduated in the class of 2015. Emily was the class of 2016. She ended up going to do some college ministry in Stillwater with Light Bearers for a year after that. And I stayed on staff for a couple years here. And then we got married in 2017 and moved to Kansas City, where we were serving in a church there as working with the youth. And yeah, I don't know, Emily, if you want to share any of that story. I think you do a good job of kind of telling, yeah, just the journey from Kansas City to how we got to Bangkok.
Yeah. So I kind of had my first real experience with like an unreached place in Nepal when I went with Light Bearers. And after that, I think the Lord just began the process of just like exciting our hearts for what it would look like to use our lives to reach the unreached, whether it was equipping, whether it was working at a church in Scott City, Kansas with 4,000 people and like telling them of the great need, and just really said to the Lord, like, we want to do whatever you want us to do. And so, yeah, I think especially, actually, we were just talking about this. When I finished my belief statements panel, I think some people, they like talk about, it was so exciting. And like, I actually felt like a small burden, I think, of like, the Lord has given me the opportunity to come and what am I going to do with it? Like, there is going to be an ask. And like, what will it be? And am I willing to do whatever that is? And so
there's a responsibility that comes with the knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my mom has always been like, you are so lucky that you got to go learn about the Bible for a year. Yeah. It's lucky. And it's also that the Lord entrusted you with something. Yeah. What are you going to do with those talents that he entrusted you with? So yeah. And then we just began the process of just like asking the Lord, like, what would you have us do? And we felt like he had asked us just to be faithful in Scott City. And yeah, we just tried not to seek other opportunities, but said, Lord, if you have something for us, like, will you just make that known? And we just got a call from some friends that we had been talking actually about church planting in the States with a little bit. And they were like, we just got asked to move to Bangkok, but like, would you go with us? And we were like, okay. I mean, it met some of our requirements, which were like the team was really faithful. They had really good, solid theology, and we knew that they had a really clear vision. So it was a pretty easy yes.
That's awesome.
To go to Bangkok.
It's awesome. Let me ask you guys a quick question, because I think this is a wrestling match that probably our current students have and alumni for sure. You know, all of us, especially the people that have been to the Institute, feel this call to be on mission. What's the difference, and what was the breaking point for you of being on mission versus I'm going into the mission field? How do you make that? What wisdom would you have for people determining, like, how do I know if I'm supposed to stay in Scott City, Kansas, or am I supposed to move across the planet, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think when we got to Scott City, we weren't expecting to be there. We had plans to actually move overseas to Guatemala originally, and those plans changed. And we just felt like the Lord was, it was like a Psalm 37, like, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Like, there is work to be done in a city of 4,000, just as there is work to be done now in a city of 10 million. And so we just wanted to cultivate daily faithfulness where we were. But I think the thing for us that really like drove the nail in was, I think, just seeing the great need, which there are people who are lost and who are in need of the gospel everywhere you go.
Yeah, right.
But I think knowing that there are people who might be born and live and die and never hear the gospel was, yeah, I think that really convicted our hearts to say like, yeah, there's just a great imbalance. You know, there's statistically 8 billion people in our world today and 40% of them are unreached. I mean, they'll never hear the gospel if someone doesn't go. And so that to us, it was less about, you know, we're in Bangkok now. I think it was less for us about where we're going to go, but more of we want to go somewhere where the gospel is not prevalent or it's non-existent in a lot of ways.
How early did you guys like begin to feel that call? Obviously, God had to bring you guys together in that call, but like how early in your walk, Emily, did you kind of, I don't want to say feel because that's not fair, but like you, that burden began to become more and more real.
Yeah, I think I was intrigued with the nations early, like 18 years old, really just, I was in Guatemala a lot, just like loved being there, loved meeting new people, loved, there's like a feeling of a little bit of freedom for me. Like I tell people all the time, like everywhere I go in Bangkok, I make relationships with the goal of being able to share the gospel. Yeah. So we're at homeschool co-op and I'm like, okay, how do I leverage this relationship for the gospel? You know, when I'm in America, I'm like, would I be doing the same thing at Collins's T-ball? Like, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably be like, kill him, Colin, you know, like whatever. Like it wouldn't be, I don't know why. It's always felt a little more free for me there, which it shouldn't. I should do the exact same thing here. And the call, I don't know if it was as much of a call, like Andrew said, as it was, why not us? There's things like we have a friend who really wanted to come on the mission field and he has so much student debt that it's impossible. Like he feels irresponsible to raise money for people to pay for his college debt. Not that someone couldn't, someone could. But yeah, we don't have a lot of college debt. Our kids are, you know, able to go and live there. We could. And so we just felt like, yeah, why not us?
That's good. Really good. Are there life lessons that you guys would be able, willing to share with our listening audience that you go, man, here are the two or three things like that God has done in us, through us, you know, here's how we've changed. Here's, just tangible fruit of our training and how it's the training that you've had through the years has, you know, allowed you to do what you're doing now in Thailand. Just, and that's kind of an open-ended question, but just what are the takeaways for you guys?
I think that Emily kind of touched on this a little bit ago, but there's something special, especially for someone who's gone through something like the Institute or any sort of training where, like she mentioned, the burden that you carry. I think there's just something special that you can carry with you, not pridefully, but knowing that like in light of the great need that there is, that you might be the only person who has the training or not even necessarily the knowledge. It's not about knowledge in and of itself, but like I think we've just realized like how unique of a time it was for us to get to go through the Institute and how like, yeah, we just want to make sure that we don't forget the responsibility that we now have to go and tell others and to make Jesus known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I think the hardest thing was the first year in Bangkok, trusting the Lord with my children, like thinking that I was, taking them out of this place that was so normal for them, where they felt normal, honestly, and taking them to a place where they are different and where the air quality is really bad. And I struggled a lot for probably 3 months. I was like, we're going home. I'm taking my kids home where they can be safe and breathe clean air and aren't going to die of lung cancer. Honestly, it was just a daily battle for me. And I got to the point, I was sitting in our small little church gathering and just talking with the Lord and just getting this, yeah, idea of like him asking me to like, do you trust me with the lives of your children? And have like, I was at a place where I was like, I don't know. I think I could do this better. Like, I would rather be in control than you. And just working, I don't think I listened to one thing that was at all in that whole sermon we did for like 30 minutes that Andrew might have been teaching. And I just like battled with the Lord kind of in that time and got to the end of that 30 minutes and was like, okay, Lord, I can either keep my kids so close to me and say, I'm not willing to sacrifice their health for the gospel. I'm not willing to sacrifice, my comfort, their comfort for the gospel. or I can trust you. I can trust that you love my kids and that their days are numbered, that their lives are in your hands. And I want your story for them more than I want my story for them. And yeah, getting to a place of really trusting his sovereignty. I think I've felt really out of control overseas.
Mm, yeah, I bet.
And there's a faux sense of security of control I have here that I know actually isn't true.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, just getting to the end of myself and really trying to, what does it mean to trust the Lord has been a really big lesson for me the last
year.
That's
good. That's really good.
I think too, just to add on one more thing. I think we've just seen, you know, being in another country, like we've just seen the reality of spiritual warfare and we've been reminded of it, mm-hmm. where it's like almost tangible.
Yeah.
You can feel it.
Almost taste it and feel it. Yeah,
you can feel it. And I think that like, it's just a reminder for us because it's here too. Like there is a blindness, there is a veil over so many eyes because of just spiritual darkness. And I think, yeah, I just think about like, for example, with our team, like, so we're serving with a team. I think there's 11 of us now, 11 adults and I think 6 children. And we just know that the enemy wants nothing more than to create disunity among our team.
Yeah.
And so I just think like, you have to be rooted in truth. You have to be rooted in, yeah, just be reminded of the gospel each and every day and your own personal need for it. Because if not, it's so easy. I think when you're exposed to, I think about like when I worked at camp and just like when you're exposed to the heat and the elements and you're tired and like how easy it is for your flesh to come out.
Yeah.
And you just have to fight for unity. And I think that that's real wherever you are in the world, like whatever team you're a part of, wherever you're serving, whatever church you're serving in, like there's just in a world that wants to promote yourself, that I think that's a lie that we try to believe, that we're tempted to believe. Like you just have to fight for unity and remember that Christ is the head of it all and that we get to be his body. And so I think that's something that we've really seen be a real attack in our time in Thailand so far.
Yeah, so good. Thank you. Just so insightful. One last question and then we'll let you guys be parents. Somebody sitting here listening to the podcast and maybe they've felt the stirring that they need to go and they don't know what to do. Just what advice would you and Emily have for people that are like just wrestling? Like, I want to be on mission. I'm on mission at my church, but I there's also something that's happening inside of me that I feel called to go do something, you know, outside of America. Just what practical things would you encourage them with?
Yeah, I think the first step is just bringing that before the Lord. You know, I think for us, it took almost 4 years from the time that we said yes until we actually launched. And for us, said yes. Yeah, we didn't actually agree to go, but it was like we went before the Lord.
Your heart was
like,
there.
We see the need. We see the imbalance. And like we are willing to go, but we also know we're willing to stay if that's what you have for us. And so I think that was the first practical step, was just going open hands to the Lord and saying, God, like, where would you have me go? How would you have me serve? And sometimes it's not a right or a wrong, it's a right or a left. And that's a reality of like wherever we are. But I think that was probably the first step that changed the way that we were praying. It changed the way that we were living as we desired to go.
That's good.
Anything you want to add to that?
I would just say, I think the most important part, I think some mission agencies do this really well and some not as well. And I would say if we were in Bangkok alone, we'd already be home. And you need a team. You need a team of people who will encourage you, who they're your coworkers, they're your friends, they are sometimes your enemies, but everything. And you work through everything together and they help you and they make you better. And without them, it would be really, really hard. So I would say just the best advice we were given and has proved to be true is like you find a team that you're willing to do the hard days with and the good days with because they're what you have.
So good. Well, I just want to say thank you, guys. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for answering the call for the sake of the gospel. And you don't need us to be proud of you, but we are. And we're really, really thankful. And if you're listening to this podcast and this has stirred you and would like to connect with the Cordascos, or if you've listened to other podcasts the Miners have been on, if you have questions about missions and just need somebody that has been in the same seat as you to talk to, I'm sure they would be willing and connect with you. And if you're like, man, I don't feel called to missions, great. You're still called to be on mission. And we hope that you remember your training at the Institute, that no matter what you do, God has called you to make a difference in the world and to make disciples. And so proud of y'all. We love y'all, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks so much.